That's right. Let's just worship Him some more. Let's just worship Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, You are worthy. God, Your way is better, even if I don't always choose it. God, keep shaking me up. Keep doing something, even if it's painful, working my heart. Jesus, You are so good. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. God is so good tonight and every night and day. You could be seated tonight. Can y'all see me if I just move up front here? Can you do that? If you can't, there's a little bit of room in the house. Just shift around. Okay? There's plenty of seats up front. Tonight is family focus night. And this year we have been trying to take a little bit of a different approach to our family focus services. We've been trying to align with what Pastor's trying to do in his messages. And he just started a series on faith. So rightfully so, we're going to talk about faith tonight, right? But you know what? Pastor Roy, he kind of gave us a brief overview of what he's going to be talking about. When he told it, Jerry and I were like, ooh, he's going to get deep. So we said, right? So tonight, we're going to get shallow. We'll let the pastor get deep. We're going to get a little shallow tonight, okay? We're just going to keep it very, very basic, hopefully. Because sometimes when you talk about faith, and Pastor Roy mentioned there's 228 verses or something in the Bible that talk about faith, sometimes it can be a bit overwhelming, right? And you start to think, and I know he's going to go into some great things. And so I maybe just want to set the ground floor for what Pastor's trying to do with just a basic discussion tonight. And so what you all get to do, I'm going to rely on some young people here tonight, okay? You don't know it, okay? I don't prep you for this stuff because then it's real. If I prepped you, it would be fake, right? Okay? But tonight we're going to talk about faith, and we're not going to do a Bible study per se, but I'm going to give us some verses. We're going to go through them, and we're going to think about what we're learning in these verses about faith, okay? Because sometimes just reading verses about something, if you read enough of them, you can start to create a picture of what that topic is and what God is trying to tell us about that topic in His Word, okay? So before we get into God's Word, though, the question we're asking tonight is multifold. We're going to talk about kind of what is faith. That's one of the questions. The title that I have for tonight, we're going to call it My Faith, or By Faith, My Faith, High Faith. Okay? See, this is just like green eggs and ham. If it rhymes, you'll remember it. Okay? I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. I will not. No, I'm just kidding. Merriam-Webster is not the Bible, but Merriam-Webster says that faith is belief and trust in and loyalty to God. Does that make sense if we say it that way? Belief and trust in and loyalty to God. It also says it's a firm belief in something for which there's no proof. So a firm belief in something. Not like, hey, I believe I did my taxes right. Right? It's like, no, I know for a fact that I did this thing right. Or this is correct. Right? I know it. And I'm confident. I have a complete trust in it. And the difference that I'm finding in the dictionary between belief and faith is that belief may or may not imply that you're certain about something. It's like, I believe that I put that Jerry, what are we, like an oil cap on, right? I think I did it right, but we're going to find out about 50 miles down the road or sooner, right? But faith is almost always implies that there's a certainty. Even if there's no evidence or proof, it's like, I just know it. I have a belief. I have a faith in something. So faith is this idea of we're believing something to be true, but we're believing it with great conviction. We're believing it strongly. Well, this is sort of, we're just using the dictionary. Let's go to God's Word and try to understand what we're talking about here. We're going to start with Hebrews 11:1 from the New International Version. It says, now faith, I'm going from the New International Version, so stay with me, not screen. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for. An assurance about what we do not see. So now we're starting to see some of those same words that we see in the Merriam-Webster's word. There's this confidence, like I know it to be true, even though, and I'm assured of it, even though I can't see it. Okay? So that's what we're seeing in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So if we're going to start to learn about faith, let's read some stories, some verses about faith. We're going to put the verse up there. I'm going to read it out loud. And then I'm going to ask you, what are we learning about faith in this verse? Okay? So this is, last time I said, just tell me what you're thinking, what came to mind. That's not what I'm asking tonight. I'm asking you, what are you learning about faith in this verse? And some of these we'll go through quickly. Some of these will take a minute. Okay? Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah... So we're talking about Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Noah. If we're looking at this first verse and says, what does faith look like in this verse? Who has an answer? You read the verse. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to save his household. What does faith look like in this verse? Who wants to be the first one to go? Come on. It's going to be a long night. Might as well get your box checked early. Brother Glenn, what does faith look like?
It was an action thing that Noah accomplished in action because God said something to him. He believed it was God's voice. He believed it was God's instruction, and he acted in faith. He did something. He reacted to the instruction.
So in this verse, because we got to read a bunch of verses here, but in this verse, would everybody agree with Brother Rossing that by faith, we see that Noah did what? He moved and he prepared. So in this verse, faith looks like moving and preparing because God told you something, right? What about verse 8? Let's go. By faith, Abraham... So we're talking about another person, obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. What does faith look like in this verse? What? Obedience. Okay, the adults are winning, 2-0. Eric, you're still an adult, okay? You count as the adult. What does faith look like in this verse?
He went out when he was called.
Oh, yes, he went out when he was called, which is obedience, but these are good. This is good. Okay, let's go to the next verse. By faith, Abraham, this is verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received in a figurative sense. What does faith look like in this verse? What? Challenge. Faith looks like a challenge? Is faith the challenge, or is faith the response to the challenge? Or is it a challenge to have faith in this moment? Yes. Okay. It's a challenge. Yes. Okay. Good. That was Brother Tim.
Faith challenged.
Faith. Okay. Faith challenged. What about you? Did you have your hand there? Somebody did. Oh, you did.
Sacrifice.
Oh, faith looks like sacrifice in this verse. Ooh, these are very good. Very good. Do you see how if you ever want to learn something about from God's word, I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about Bible colleges and stuff like that. It's really good. You can learn a lot of stuff online too. But if you just literally look up the word faith in the Bible and go verse by verse by verse and just ask yourself, what am I learning about it in this verse? You'll start to see a picture, right? We're seeing a picture. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What does faith look like in this verse? What? Faith looks like separation. That's a good word. Yes. Faith looks like separation. Can I use a different tense or participle or whatever? It looks like separating from things in your life, separating from people. Is it the same thing? Separating? Okay. What about verse 30? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Yes. Doing crazy stuff. Faith looks like doing crazy stuff sometimes. I will accept that answer. That's good. That's right. You know what's interesting? If I was to go back to these verses and we just said, let's put ourselves in their shoes, and let me reword it differently. You can go through each verse one at a time, Sister Sarah, which Sister Sarah and Brittany really helped me with this slide thing, so they get so much credit. Thank you so much. In verse 7, Noah is saying, I believe God is correct, that it will rain, and so I will build a boat to protect my family. Verse 8, Abraham, I believe God's promise about a special land, and so I will live in a strange and uncomfortable spot because this is what God has called me to do. Verse 17, Abraham, I believe God's promise of being the father of many nations, and so if I have to, I'll sacrifice my son because he will bring up somebody else. Verse 24, Moses, I believe God is real and I am one of his people, and so I will separate myself from the people of this world. I will live like God's people. And in verse 30, I believe God will give us the victory over this mighty city, so I will walk around the city and maybe do some crazy things for 7 days. So when we start to word it a little bit differently, it makes a little bit more sense. We're seeing in all these verses a theme. And then at the end, look at the end, it says, and the rest. And I didn't give them this verse, but it says, what, this is at the end of the faith chapter. All these heroes, it says, and what more shall we say? For time would fail to tell me of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith they subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. What's the theme we're getting from all these verses? What are we learning about faith in these verses? What is the theme you saw in all these verses? What? It's an action. Just that's why I was tweaking your wording there, Dan. Like, I am separating. I am choosing to separate. I am making an action to separate, right? I am actively, in this case, sacrificing. Thank you, sister, right? I am sacrificing. I am choosing to follow God. I will build a boat even though it doesn't make sense. So in these verses, and we could find so many more, we read, the lesson we're learning is that faith is accompanied by action or is an action. Because it doesn't say by faith he believed the rains were coming, period. It says by faith he built a boat to protect his family. So when we read into this, it starts to make a little bit more sense, right? Our actions show what we believe, and what we believe should be backed up with our actions. So what about this? Let's go to another verse. Just check around here. You can go to all the verses, but we'll go a couple at a time, and I don't hit all 229 tonight or 228. James 2. Verse 14, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Next verse. Sorry, we're going to keep going. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, if there's a brother or sister in need, verse 16, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things for which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. That's a lot of words, but is this reiterating what we just read? What did you take away from that? Any young people? That verse is, there's a lot of words in there. Let's just go to the first one. There we go. If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? What do we learn about faith in that verse? Hold on, Brother Jerry. Yeah, we got it. We got a brave soul here. What's up?
Faith has to have works.
Faith has to have works, right? It has to have action. He's got it. Look, this kid's smart. This is good, right? It's not belief that saves us. It's not this idea that says, hey, I see somebody in need. I see Sister Amar. She's in need. She needs food and she needs clothing and all this. She doesn't really. And so, you know what? Be warm. Like, that doesn't do anything, right? It's my action that shows my faith, right? In fact, what we're reading in James is you can't even describe faith without using action, without saying there's something that goes along with it. And so the second lesson we're learning here is that faith is acting in a way that shows you believe it. Okay? Acting in a way, or I'll say faith without action is nothing. So first we learn that faith is accompanied by action, or is an action, and that faith without action is nothing. It's not even faith. It doesn't count. Okay? So does this make sense? We're learning some things in God's word here as we go. Okay, well, let's change the topic up a little bit here. We're going to stay on faith. I'm going to read Hebrews 12, 2, and then we're going to read Romans 10. So pay attention to this. I'll read these slow, okay? There's a point here. I'm not going to cheat for you here. We're going to read through it. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Oh, I started earlier. Sorry. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hold that thought. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Romans 10, verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One verse said that Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and the next verse said, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are we learning about faith in these two verses? What? That's, you say it out loud again, sorry?
In the word of God.
That's the second verse. What are we learning about faith in these two verses? Yes. Obedience, okay. Now, that we learned a lot about that in the other verses, and that still applies here. But it says, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And then it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are we picking up here? Brother Seth, yell it out. Jesus writes our story. That's a good one. Did I see a hand over here? Yeah, what's up, JJ? Okay, beginning and the end. You know what I like about the word beginning? Is it starting to describe where we get our faith? Oh, so these verses tell us where faith comes from. Because in the first verse, it says, Jesus authors our faith. And this verse, the second one, says, faith comes by the word of God. Hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so God gives us faith. And so the next lesson we're picking up in these verses is that faith comes from God. Faith comes from God and his word. Let's go to Matthew 8, verse 5. This is a long one, so keep up with me. But you've heard this story. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him. A centurion is a Roman soldier, not a fan of the Jews, and vice versa. Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. It is interesting that Jesus said, I'm going to come and heal him. And the verse continues. That's interesting to me. The verse just keeps going. Like, that should be the end. God's going to come and heal him. But the centurion answered, said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such grace, faith, not even in Israel. Huh. Now, we already know, you guys are figuring it out by now, right? You're not going to have the same lesson every verse. So, yes, faith is obedience. Yes, it is an action. Yes, it comes from God. What's another lesson we're learning about faith in this verse? A Roman centurion, an enemy of the Israelite people. Oh, yes, Kato. There's levels of faith. That's a couple bullet points forward. Just hold that one, okay? Yeah. Oh, Brother Roman, what you got? It takes more faith to divide your culture. Well, that's a good lesson to learn. Yep. It's not the one I had written down, though, Roman, so we might have to add a bullet point. No, that's good, though. It does take more faith. What else? What's a lesson we're picking up in this? I've not found such great faith. What are we learning about the types of people that can have faith? What? Who said that? Anyone can have faith. No, but not like evil people, right? Not enemies to the to the people of Israel. Not the people that are about to crucify Jesus. They can't have faith, can they? Oh, so we're learning that anyone can have faith. God gives it to us, and anyone can have it. What you got, JJ? Yeah, That's good. So he took it a step further than I took it, which is really good. Anyone can have faith, and it doesn't matter what they've gone through, right? It doesn't matter what their history was or what their past was. It doesn't matter where they've come from. We can all come to Jesus with faith. That's really good. Thanks, man. See, this is why we do this. We all just learned something from JJ tonight. See, we're all learning something from each other. Thank you, JJ. But let's go to James 2:19. I don't know if I didn't give him this verse, but this one's interesting. It says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the devils believe and they tremble. The devils believe and they act on it. Anyone can have faith. Anyone can have faith. The centurion had more faith than anybody Jesus had ever seen, and he was not a Christian. And so the lesson we're learning in these verses is that anyone and everyone can have faith. Romans 12:3. Okay, remember, we now know that, you know, faith is essentially action. We know that faith comes from God. We know that everyone can have faith. Anyone can have faith. Is this encouraging? Because, wait, don't you sometimes wonder, like, well, maybe I wasn't given faith, or maybe I don't have faith, or maybe it's for other people. No, everyone gets faith. I'm cheating here, but let's go to Romans 12:3. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So we learned in the last lesson we all learned was that anyone and everyone can have faith. And what are we learning in this one? Not only can you have faith, what are we learning? What? Somebody said over here. You get faith. So God gives it to you. Anybody can have it. And God gives each of us some faith. I'm not even going to fight about the word measure because it's not going to matter when we go to our next verse. Okay? God gives us each faith. So the next lesson that we're picking up is that we are all given faith. Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to him, because of your unbelief, for surely, because he's answering their question, so I'm coming to the middle of the verse here for time's sake. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. What's the lesson in this verse about faith? Do you just keep your hand up, or do you have an answer? What do you got? What is the lesson we learned about this one?
Trust.
Okay. What else? Oh, yeah, what do you got?
Your measure of faith does not dictate and determine God's power.
Ooh. So whatever that measure is, whether it's a gallon or a pint or a truckload or a tiny little grain of mustard seed, that doesn't dictate God's power. So God gives us faith. Anyone can have faith. We all get some faith. And the lesson here is what? How much do we need? You don't need a lot. This is when you start going through this, you start studying this, like, this is kind of encouraging. Someone's like, God, yeah, Brother Rossing. It's more, hold on, let me get you the mic. I'm walking back here.
The object of your faith, because you can have faith in your faith. The world has blind faith. And the Lord, starting in Hebrews 10, it says, God's the author, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So then faith in what quickens you? It's the rhema word of God quickening the belief system that you have. God is the object of your faith. You can't have just faith, blind faith. The world's got blind faith. You have to have biblical precedent. You have to have biblical presence in the form of God. He gives you the proof that he's real.
Yes. So it's faith in God, right? Now, if I have not said that yet tonight, we should assume that going forward. We are talking about faith in God, okay? But that's a good point. So we learn in Matthew 17:20, you only need a little faith in God, Brother Rossing, in God. Mark 9:23, what does this say? Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What did we learn about faith in this one? Hold on, I got to call some other names, man. You already struck gold twice. What else? What do we learn about faith in this one? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What is it? What are we learning in this verse? Yeah, what do you think? That's good. So he has faith. This man has faith that God can help the fact that he doesn't have faith. That's really good. That's confusing, but it's good, isn't it? He's like, I have so little faith, but I have enough to believe that you can help my little faith. Yeah, Jim, say it out loud. Faith can be a struggle. Oh, man, that's a good lesson. That's true. We've all gone through some tough times, right? I think another lesson here is that we can ask for faith. We all get it. We get a measure. Everyone can have some. It is an action. We can ask God for faith. And for the record, wherever you're at today, whatever you say, this is my, you know, and I don't like to talk about levels, but if you're like, I just don't feel like I have a strong faith right now, or wherever you're at, you can ask for God to help you with your faith. That's a lesson we're learning here. It's not like Jesus said, here's a little bit of faith, figure it out. He's like, oh, you need a little help? You want to ask for more? I can help with that. Okay, we can ask for help. Okay, we got three verses here. You're going to see the pattern real quickly here. So when you figure out what it is, at the end of the three, you can tell me the lesson we're picking up in these verses. So the last one is we can ask for faith. Luke 17:5 says, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. 1 Corinthians 10:15. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labor, but having hope that your faith is increased. And 1 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. What is the lesson we picked up in these three verses? Yes. We should, yeah, but also it can be increased, right? Both of those are true. Faith can be increased. Yeah, Sarah. We have to use it. Yeah, it's not just like, it's like, hey, step out there a little bit. Oh, okay, this worked. I'll do another one, right? You're growing. These are good. These are both good. Our faith can grow. It can be increased. That's the next lesson we had, right? It's interesting because it's you could say right on the screen here, but he gets up saying, I've given everybody a measure. You only need the grain of a mustard seed. You don't need very much, but it can grow. It's almost like God saying, you don't need much, but I've called you for more. I've got something for you. I want to increase your faith. Yeah, you're going to obey me and do a little bit now. Maybe you're not with Abraham and willing to sacrifice your firstborn, right? Maybe you're not at that stage just yet, and no one's asking that recording. Don't put this on the internet saying that that's what we do here, right? We're not, but maybe you're not at that point where you're this huge sacrifice, but maybe God's like, hey, maybe there's this little area of your life that you need to trust me in and start acting a little bit differently. This is the last verse I have that I want to discuss is Luke 5, verse 18. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him, Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. What's the lesson? What do we learn about faith in this verse? What? Who said that? Sister Carolyn? Faith can be seen. That's what I had written down, so good job. But what else? Jerry? Oh, you can have faith for other people. That's good. What else? What else do we learn from this verse? Anything else? He saw their faith. Well, it reiterates that faith is an action, right? Yes, Eric. that's good. I mean, we don't want to run them over and treat them poorly, but you're right. I'm with you. We shouldn't let what people think or the fact that, well, this is an inconvenience, I'm just not going to operate in my faith. Right, Brother Ted? God is watching for us to be faithful. He's waiting for somebody to tear the roof off of something so he can heal somebody. Right? That's really good, Ted. Thank you. We've learned a lot about faith tonight. Right? We've picked up some lessons. Can you pull up that lesson, the sheet we had? We learned that faith is either accompanied by action or really is an action, we should say, right? Faith without action is nothing. Faith comes from God and his word. Anyone and everyone can have faith. We're all given some faith, but you only need a little bit faith. But you can always ask for faith, and our faith can grow, and faith can be seen. If we had more time tonight, I'm sure I don't have more notes, but we could keep going. This is what it's like when we read through God's word, and you start to build a picture of what faith looks like. And so as we're talking about faith, some of us sit here and we're like, well, Pastor Roy, what got me thinking about this was when he said, we could ask everybody what they think faith is and everybody would give a different definition, right? And that's so true. But how do we keep it really basic, right? Faith is an action to something you believe. It is a response saying, I believe this and therefore. Let me give you some examples. If I say I believe something or have faith in it, then my actions should be showing it. And so the challenge to all of us tonight, individuals, married couples, young people, families, the question we have to ask ourselves, and this is where it doesn't get as fun anymore. I gave you all the hope verses because that's all great. We should feel hope. God should be encouraging us. But can we say that I believe God can increase my faith, and so I will ask him to help my unbelief? I believe God's word is true. Go to the next slide, please. I believe God's word is true, and so I will study it for my life and live by it. I believe Jesus loves and cares for me, so I will not act according to the way I want to act and believe the things I want to believe and say, I'm going to live the way he wants to live because he does love and care for me, even though it seems difficult at times, I'm going to trust that. I believe God wants to have a relationship with me, so I will spend time getting to know him. See, it's one thing to say, I believe in God. It's another thing to say, I'm going to start living according to God's way. It's really easy for us to put on our jackets and come to church and do our hair and say, I believe in God. It's another thing to say, so I will insert action, insert separation, insert change in lifestyle. I believe God has a plan for my life, so I will stop beating myself up and I will pursue him. God has a plan instead of saying, well, I'm just a big, giant, lonely loser. No, God has a plan for you. You are his workmanship. And if you believe God and you believe in his word, then let's stop believing that garbage in our brains that says we're never going to be good enough or our past is holding us back or this hurt that happened in our lives. Let's say, hey, you know what? God still loves me. He cares about me. He wants a relationship with me. I'm going to pursue him at all costs. Even if it means tearing the roof off of something. I believe God is ordering my steps, so I will continue to follow him even when things are bad or don't make sense. When there's tragedy in my family. When finances and marriages and sickness and everything happens and things go poorly. Well, I say that I believe God's word. I say I believe it. And in those moments, it's really difficult. But I'm going to keep following him even when it's tough. And that's what faith is, right? Faith, that's what we're talking about. Abraham, he said, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him like he did good. It was counted to him for righteousness. He did good. How do we know he believed God? Because God said, go out there. I got a land for you. And he went out there and he took his tent and set it up in the middle of this weird area. He's just like, this is my land, I think. And God's like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. He acted on what I told him. I believe the kingdom of heaven is important, so I will spend time helping to build his kingdom here on earth. It's one thing to say, I believe in God, and I believe in church, and I believe in winning the lost, but it's another thing to say, so I will go out and try to do that. And like Sister Sarah said, it's good. We might have to take some steps first, right? That's okay. I believe Jesus can save and help people, so I will tell others about him. If we really believe it, if we really believe, then we should be out there doing this. Believe this is not easy for me either, right? This is like, whew, all the love and hopeful stuff is at the front, but at the back it's like, hold on, if I really believe it, then my faith, I should be acting on it. I believe God's word is powerful and can change lives, and so I will find someone to teach a personal Bible study to. You know, it doesn't have to be this big. The musicians can come up here. What I've learned in all this, and what hopefully you're picking up with as we go through this, is that there's a verse that talks about from faith to faith, right? And if you were here a number of years ago, Brother Galen Thompson taught a message about from faith to faith, and he was saying that we're all at different levels of faith. And I'm not even going to try to, that was one of the best messages I've ever heard, so I'm not even going to try to talk about what he was talking about. But he just talked about we're at different levels of faith. And it's the idea that we are growing towards God in our faith. God, I believe in you, but help my unbelief. God, I believe that this can happen. I'm going to try this. And God sees us through that. And he works through it. He shows us that he was there. He's like, okay, I can have faith for a little bit more. Right? It's this growing, this levels of faith that we're constantly growing. And you know what's important? Not what level we're on. Not how quickly you're progressing from level to level. What's important is that we are facing towards Jesus Christ and we are pursuing him. That's what's important. We are starting a what do we want to call it, Jerry? We want to start a shift this year with Pastor Roy, and we've been talking as the pastoral team about, we want to start encouraging personal Bible studies, right? And not everyone's done that before. That's a thing, right? I just went through that. Some of you and some of me, we sit there and be like, I have trouble reading my own Bible. I have trouble gleaning things out of the Bible for myself. Well, guess what? Like, what I just did tonight, this is not a big fancy thing. This is sitting down and reading. This has taken years for me to learn. I didn't go to any schools for this, right? You don't have to either. It's just reading God's word and hearing about it. And you know what? God wants you to share his word with people. And you might say, well, you know what? I don't know. I'm not a God's word expert. Well, no. There's very few people that are. We're all just trying to follow God. And he is with us when we share his word. He said to the disciples, he's like, you just go out, I'll give you the words to say. Now, that doesn't mean go out and be stupid, okay? They had spent a bunch of years with him listening to what he said. So he's like, you'll get the words from me, not because you made something up from a TikTok video. And so the challenge I have for us, and I'll start with families, but if you're not a family here, it still applies to you. Maybe you're a youth. Maybe you're a married couple. Maybe you're retired. I don't know where you're at. The challenge is, by the end of this year, let's find somebody to teach a personal Bible study to. Maybe that personal Bible study is one of those hour-long studies. That's right. What a shock. Maybe it's that personal Bible. Maybe it's an hour. Maybe you meet once a month. I don't know who it is. It's a coworker, a neighbor. But you know what? That's a big ask. Maybe we start with just saying, hey, families, maybe we could teach a Bible study to our families. Instead of putting God's word, just reading God's word. If there's anything you're hopefully learning from me tonight, is that it's really not that difficult to read a verse and ask people what they thought. And you got great young people. JJ was a great example tonight, that say things you're like, that's exactly what God's telling us in this verse. Right? And so let's start in our homes, but let's not end in our homes, because if all we do is teach Bible studies to our family, we're not accomplishing the kingdom of God. But it starts at home. And so that's our challenge. Let's all stand tonight. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know how this whole faith thing hits you when you're thinking about it. But we're going to have a time to pray. Maybe you come up here and say, God, I don't know if I even have faith. Give me some faith. Maybe you're up here saying, God, increase my faith. Maybe you're praying to God, help me to trust and have more confidence in you. Maybe you're saying, God, I think I have faith, but I've been hesitating on this thing I think you want me to do. I think you want me to talk to this person or ask this person if they want a personal Bible study. Or maybe, you know what? I really want to go help this ministry or this church plant. Bring it to God tonight. See what his response is based on these words you're hearing. God, help us to act on it. And maybe God is, if we can just set aside the things in our life and our families and our distractions for just a few moments, maybe God's going to start to point to you to people that are right in your circle. He's like, hey, it doesn't take a lot of faith, Brother Carey. It doesn't take a lot. I'll give you what you need. Step out there, man. Take an action. But I don't know what to say, Peter. It's okay. Step out. God's going to help you. This area is open at the front. Come to God. Let's be honest with God tonight. Whatever level you're at, wherever you're at with faith, bring it to God tonight and ask him for what you want. We get to do that because he is faithful.
I give you glory for all you brought me through. And now I'm ready for whatever you want to do. Follow after you, and now I'm ready for whatever.
Opportunities in front of this church and us people, this community. And then he's talking, Pastor Roy's been talking about boldness. And now God's like, I'm with you. Just take a step out. Just take a step out. I'm with you. Oh, but it's not comfortable. I'm with you.
Go read through the Old Testament. He always said, go, I will be with you. Not, I'm out here, come find me. He said, go, I will be with you. So God is calling us out. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep stepping out in faith. Let's keep supporting our pastor in this. And there's a lot of people, like Pastor Jerry said, let's bring them that are sick. Let's bring forward some of those people that are sick this week in our prayers, in our prayer time. So God bless you. Have a great night.